The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Welcome to Wednesday's broadcast here. It is the 11th of November, 2020. Post 7 days here since election. And we're still counting. I've got in studio with me today Bonnie Faulkner. She does a program on Salem Network, and that is called Guns and Butter. How are you doing, Bonnie?
Well, pretty good, John. A little tired. I'm here on vacation in San Antonio, and I got an interview with you sprung on me, and so we'll see how we do. Actually, I'm with the Pacifica Network.
Oh, I said Salem, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't know where you got that.
I don't. Somebody mentioned it to me the other day. I think I just picked that up, and I just repeated the error.
Anyway, for a little bit of explication, the Pacifica Network has five stations, New York, Berkeley, Houston, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. And it was founded in 1949 by a conscientious objector to World War II. And they Pacifica pioneered listener-sponsored radio. So Pacifica is non-commercial, listener-supported, and they do live fundraising. And in the early days, when the station started in 1949, the founder, Lou Hill, actually distributed radios to the people around town so they could listen to Pacifica.
I'll be darned. Well, that's the original PBS, then, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Did they have government funding back then?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that always bothered me about PBS. It's government funded.
Oh, yeah. No, Pacifica isn't. And supposedly they don't even take foundation fundings. It's supposed to be 100% listener-sponsored. However, their lead national show does take foundation funding, but it's been spun off from the network.
We're listener supported here, even though we're still on a commercial clock. We're listener funded here since 2008. Let me see, what was significant about 2008? Oh, that was the biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind by the bankers.
Up until now.
Well, they're putting the finishing touches on this. The COVID-19, we started to separate and mask and wash our little handies since March. And evidently, this is not going to stop. They've continued this. The information we have, this little program is going to stretch out to 2025. So we're going to have COVID-19 crises year after year. And it's disturbing. I didn't want to slide into that quite yet, because I wanted to get a little bit more background on your Guns and Butter. Now, this is a weekly program?
This is a weekly one-hour program, and it's called Guns and Butter. That was actually that's a shorthand they oftentimes use in the financial section. Butter stands for the economy, and guns is a shorthand for the military. So it's either guns and butter, guns or butter. Lyndon Johnson from your home state here ran a guns and butter administration because he had the war in Vietnam and he had the war on poverty at home. So guns and butter applies there. And now what I wanted to do, I was a volunteer news reporter in the newsroom, and 9/11 happened. But I had wanted to start doing economic programming because at that time there virtually was no economic programming on the station. Not that I'm an economist, but things were happening economically negatively in 2001. So the station, 9/11 happened, the station went to special programming, and I was given 3 half-hours to go on live and do economic programming. And lo and behold, what I chose to do the show on were the massive put options on American and United Airlines and the reinsurance companies in Europe.
Whoops.
And
whoops.
Yes, with a now deceased ex-cop named Mike Rupert, who was right out in front there on 9/11. So my economic show turned into a 9/11 show.
I know Michael Rupert. I knew of him. I interviewed him many times. Very good guy. Was he supposedly, he killed himself?
I believe so. I think so.
You think?
I went to a very small, a little memorial for him out in the countryside, and a gentleman was there that had funded him and set him up in Sebastopol with a new thing. Anyway, this man was quite close to him,
yeah.
And he assured me that, yes, he thought Mike Rupert really did commit suicide.
I kind of had that same flavor, and I think I remember mentioning that I'm looking for, you know, the errors or, you know, just the mystery stuff, doppelganger stuff hanging out there unexplained, and I didn't see that. A lot of people that have been, do we want to call it a movement? I don't even know what we're trying to do anymore. I'm one of these old school guys that I think that we're still a constitutional republic and we still have the rule of law. And politics is throwing that political football around without paying attention to the aforementioned, you know, the rule book. You know, if you don't like the rules, change the rules.
Right.
But we are a constitutional republic, and that is the law. And my gosh, I've been hearing now incessantly, if I had a dollar, Bonnie, for every time I've heard, I don't give a damn if it's Tucker Carlson on Fox News, I don't care if it's Jake Tapper on CNN, I don't care if it's MSLSD, I don't care who it is. Don't care. We're now a democracy. When we used to refer to this country as being a nation or a country or this or that, well, now it's been supplanted by the term democracy, of which we are not. Democracy, simply put, they've substituted that as our form of government.
Right.
And it's not our form of government. So we all know what a democracy is. If you convince 51% of the people that they should jump off the cliff, hey, you know, that's, yeah, we'll vote on that. Okay, 51%, yeah, we'll all jump. But if the 51% is standing there and says, hey, we voted, you 49%, you've got to go over the cliff. And if you don't like that, we might do it at a point of a gun, but that's democracy and that's how the majority rules. Now, I'm a little confused about that because the founders, I've read a lot on the founders and George Washington, they wanted to mimic England. Oh, you got to become king, George. He said, no, I don't want to do that. Democracy. No, they certainly didn't want to do that. So they went through the exercise of setting up our present form of government that nobody seems to really be familiar with because I refer to it as being the rule book. And if this was a baseball game and we had the left and the right, well, you're being outscored 92-0, and you don't know why. That's because you're playing by the rule book. The other side isn't. And you're still wondering, as you walk off the field and the score is 149-0, why you got beat. Truth anymore? There's no truth. There is no truth. It's just who you want to believe. That's it anymore. There's no fact. There's no basis. There's no nothing. Here it is. Take your choice. Welcome to the new democracy. Or how did they term that? They had a term for it. The Great Reset. Yes. As soon as the COVID-19 thing hit, what did they start telling you? This is the new normal. How did they know that? Well, then we discover, Bonnie, that their little COVID-19 program, they plan on running that out to 2025.
Now, how did you come up with the date 2025?
I've read their foundations. I've seen them sitting, and this is filmed. I've sat and watched them discussing how they're going to do this.
Are you talking about the World Economic Forum?
That was part of it, but there were other groups as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Well, no, this we got to eradicate. This is dangerous.
I keep thinking of the UN's Agenda 2030. It started with 21, now it's 2030. So I expect this entire decade to be quite scary.
Well, it's going to be more than scary because if you think the economy has been fixed, it hasn't. Donald Trump, you know, we were talking about Donald Trump prior to the show for a minute. And I said to you that, you know, Donald Trump wouldn't have been my first choice for president. You know, the guy's a little stuck on himself. He's a little arrogant. But I figured out who Donald Trump was. You know, he had a game show a reality show. I never watched one episode of that. I knew who Donald Trump was even before, you know, didn't have to watch it. But here was a guy, Bonnie, that I think he believed in his heart, I'm a successful businessman. I see what's wrong in the country. I know what it needs. It needs jobs and this, that. And I can do this. Ergo, I'm going to run for president. Look how everybody laughed. You didn't have to be a Republican, or a Democrat, rather. You know, Donald Trump is president. That's never going to happen. Republicans thought the same thing. So he ran up against, 18 others for selection for that spot? And he pretty handily beat them all. The Bushes, and it didn't matter. The leftovers from past didn't matter. Here was Donald Trump, and he started to talk about what concerned people. Jobs. Where had all the jobs gone? Well, I don't know. Check your banker, 2008. By the way, did you ever hear the media, any media whatsoever, tell the American people what the 2008 banking crisis, how much money that actually involved?
I used to know, John, but I can't pull it out of the hard drive.
Well, I was lucky enough or unlucky enough. Yeah, I know how that hard drive works. That's why I do 5-hour energy on a regular basis, keep myself sharp. Yeah, no, I a year after, this was September of 2009, right down here in Austin, I'd wrecked my motorcycle, not badly, but badly enough to stick it in the shop to get it repaired. And I was on a test run. It was September. It was hot. I'm motoring around. I found myself in Austin at a gas station to get a drink. And I'm sitting there, and I watch a guy drive up in a car that I'd not seen in the United States. It was a Ford Fiesta. They stopped selling them here years ago. Well, the guy gets out of this car, and the suit that he's wearing is worth more than the car. And he comes walking by me, and he looks at me, and he looks at the motorcycle, and he said, man, that's the nicest motorcycle I've ever seen. So when he walked back out, we engaged. I walked over. He prepaid, and he's pumping his gas, and I introduced myself, and he told me who he was. And he was a manager from Chase Manhattan from New York to come down to Texas to calm the fears of the managers down here in Texas.
Really?
And the conversation ensued. And I told him, I said, look, I said, I do talk radio. I said, I know what's going on with this. And I said, and you're down here to talk to the Chase. And I told him, look, whatever we talk about here, I said, I'll keep your name out of it, even the bank that you work for. And I looked at him, and I said, my sources, I said, by the way, can we play a little game? Can we tell each other the truth for the next 5 minutes? And he agreed. And I asked him, I said, my sources told me that this little banking exercise, the debt that was rung up was between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion. And he just looked at me, and he nodded his head. Yes, that's correct. So a year after this happened, I had actually heard from a manager down from Wall Street, for God's sakes, here in Texas, affirming what I had been told. And then I was looking at this and I'm going, wow. So what did we do? Well, we bailed out the banks for getting us in trouble in the first place. We bailed out corporations because they were too big to fail. Look at all these jobs here that'll, you know, this is devastating. Well, we got to go in there and bail out the banks. And of course we did. And we're bailing them out again. But something magically happened. With a debt load like that, you'd think that the world economies would come to a screeching halt. Under normal circumstances, Bonnie, that would be true. But they came up with this little neat little thing called quantitative easing, where they just kept releasing funds to the banks to keep them afloat, to keep them from collapsing, because God forbid we would want an economy to collapse under the weight of the funny money fractionalized reserve banking people. Can't have that. Mm-hmm. So from there on, it was just a little game of the ticking time bomb. So here we are.
Excuse me, John, but I did a show with many shows, actually, with economist Michael Hudson, and one of the names of one of our interviews was rescuing the banks instead of the economy. So there was no rescue of the economy. It was a bank bailout. It was rescuing the banks, Wall Street, the financial institutions, the derivatives, the massive debt to keep the whole thing floating. I mean, on the one hand, you can say, well, you know, they were going to have to do something about this banking crisis. But as has been explained to me on many shows, when the banks go to lend money, they don't lend money into the real economy.
No.
They only lend into the FIRE sector, finance, insurance, and real estate. And it creates an asset bubble.
Yep.
It's not bailing out the real economy.
No.
And then what's really scary about the present situation is with the lockdown, it's an economic lockdown, they're destroying what's left of Main Street.
Pretty much.
I mean, I'll tell you, I think that with my show in particular and the research I do, that I stay on top of things. But there's no way I could have predicted this. When they announced that lockdown last March, I couldn't believe it. It was so obvious on the front end. How can local businesses survive if they're not allowed to be open for business?
Well, and this was on the tail end, Bonnie, of the greatest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind in 2008, the economy was nowhere near back. It drove a lot of businesses, a lot of people right into the ground. They lost their homes, they lost their jobs, they lost their wives, their husband, their kids. Some people were even so depressed they even lost their own lives by their own hand.
Yeah.
And then we roll around to this magical COVID-19 thing, and oh my God, we've got to stop this, and we're sorry, but we've got to lock you down. We've got to slow that economy down so you can survive. Forget when the emergency's over, you walk back outside, what are you looking at? You're looking at a rubble of an economy, smoldering ashes. That's all we have.
Now, what is everybody saying? The cure is worse than the disease.
Exactly.
And I've met people who personally know people who have committed suicide already.
Yeah. And who are these people? If you want your deep state, I was so sick and tired of that term and how easy it was to assign that to a face and a name that's out in the forefront in Washington, D.C. That wasn't a deep state. Those were the acting sock puppets they put in front of the cameras. The deep state is way behind that. Bonnie, the deep state is the world bankers.
Exactly. Or as President Trump refers to the State Department, the Deep State Department.
I thought
that was pretty good.
Since the 50s and all of my research, yeah, there was a lot of weird things coming out of the State Department. I looked for Donald Trump. And folks, I'm not declaring Joe Biden the president of the United States because they're still counting ballots. Yeah. But Joe Biden gets in there. You're going to have the lockdowns. You're going to have expensive stuff rolling in, the Green New Deal. You're going to see the purse of the United States government open up once again to fund all this crap. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they're going to have to go borrow the money to do this. But, you know, during the last banking crisis, I said, you know, give me the leastest for the mostest. You know, in dire economic times, that's what you need. And what was foisted on? Oh, well, this is a perfect time for the Green New Deal. No, it's not. Excuse me. No, it ain't. But you look at this, Bonnie, and it's like I'd asked the question on air one day, well, what's, you know, they've been trying to take down the United States, the last bastion of what I would consider freedom. So what are they going to try next?
Well, apparently some people on my show have described the new Green New Deal to me as a new phase of capitalism.
New phase of capitalism. Folks, we got to take the break here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Resolution of all the ruthless soldiers.
I've been told we got the best bumper in radio. I can't take claim for producing the music, just replaying it. Bonnie Faulkner has a program once a week called Guns and Butter. And, you know, just sitting here, you and I didn't talk much.
No.
Your friends wrangled you into doing this program.
That's correct.
Bonnie, you're not on the witness chair here. Okay. it was kind of strange because you came down here for an event that got canceled.
Exactly. The Question Everything 2020. And that was going to be pretty much every conspiracy known to man. So it was going to be a lot of fun.
Mm.
And they're going to bring in some people from all over the world, really. But, you know, here it was scheduled for October 7th and 8th, which was kind of kooky. I thought, gee, that's right after the election. And everybody was expecting riots and God knows what. But it sounded like so much fun. We decided to come anyway.
You said October. You meant November?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean November. Yeah.
I was going to say, as far as I know, there wasn't another election that took place. But, hey, there might have been, you know? So, you know, and somebody suggested Ron Avery.
Mm-hmm.
He used to have a bar called the Silver Tap House. And we would gather down there, and he'd throw events. And I got to know Ron, and I went to a couple of his events. And when I get a call from this dear lady, I think yesterday, that says that, well, Bonnie is in town and the event got canceled, and I think you should meet, and well, here you are. And I'm so glad that you're able to do that, because I hate traveling, and
me
I hate
too.
And I hate doing other people's shows.
Oh.
I really do. because what am I? Am I the host? Am I the guest? You know, and you expressed, a little, not concern, but you expressed that before the program, and I said, you're a talk show host, and so am I. Combined, I think 50 years?
I've been, a radio host for a good 20. So, yeah, that makes 50 if you've been on for 30.
Yep.
And I said to you when we spoke last night, well, maybe we ought to talk about radio. You do radio and I do radio, but we do it in different venues.
Right.
Now, my challenge at the radio stations that I've been with on Pacifica is that they have they've evolved into a kind of politics, which I don't share. So it's a big challenge for me to stay on the air. I have an extremely popular show, but it's not the kind of broadcasting that the management and the paid staff, that's not their politics, it's not their kind of programming, it's not necessarily the subjects that they choose. So I've been something of a...
Anomaly?
Boy, I'll say, at least.
and it started with your coverage of 9/11.
Yes, and that's a subject that, generally speaking, the network does not cover.
Well, and you started asking questions. And did you have a scheduled guest for that program?
That first program, that economic program, was with Mike Rupert. But every time I tried to do an economic program, it would turn into a 9/11 program. I do feel that 9/11 descended on me. And so I've done many, many, many shows on 9/11. I think I'll mention this because I think your listeners will find this interesting. My show began in 2001. I had a regular weekly one-hour spot beginning 2002. And, oh, this is an interesting factoid. When they gave me the show, and that's a long story, they announced my air date was September 11th, 2002.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, one chance in 600.
What an inaugural date.
365. So by the year 2006, I was still on the air, of course, going strong. And I did a series of interviews with David Ray Griffin, who's a well-known theologian, and he took on the 9/11 subject. He's written at this point from 11 to 15 books on September 11th. This particular show that I did with him in 2006 was called Explosive Testimony, the 9/11 Oral Histories. And what this was about was that on the day of and the few days after of the events of September 11th, the New York Fire Department went around and did interviews with all the first responders, mostly the firemen, the policemen, other EMTs. They took down all this eyewitness testimony, but they didn't release it to the public. The New York Times brought a lawsuit against the New York Fire Department to release those eyewitness testimonies, and that's what had happened. They released this information, and David Ray Griffin, this theologian who was dedicated to 9/11 truth, he wrote a long article on this. Well, I interviewed him on this subject. These are eyewitness reports of demolition rings in the Twin Towers, explosions, the whole bit. And so this is an interview with him, which I broadcast on, I believe it was March 29th, 2006, and there was a local architect driving around. I think he was on his way to San Francisco, and he was listening to the show, and he pulled over to the side of the road to listen to the rest of it, and he told me later, he thought, could this be true? So he started coming to our events, our 9/11 events. And the next thing I heard, he's giving a speech at the Sonoma State University
We've got a break here. Hold that thought. Bonnie Faulkner in studio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
America! Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man
with a gun over there telling me I gotta beware. I was listening to one of your shows and you had a different version of that song. You had the more hip hop.
Yes, this might be part of the hip-hop one, too, but we didn't use it because there was, like, some swearing in it or something. That's lovely with the loop.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that's the theme song for my show, and we've just stuck with it.
Really?
Yep.
I'll be darned.
Yep. Well, John, before you so rudely interrupted me, I was getting to the punchline.
That crash commercialism. I've heard that phrase before, and I don't know who to attribute that to. But... okay, so anyway, you're doing the program, and somebody's listening, and they pull off the road to hear the show.
That's right. And this was a young Bay Area architect. He was absolutely shocked. He started attending our events. He then began to give speeches on 9/11. He would go around, he would visit architectural firms in the Bay Area during the noon hour or whatever, and give lectures on 9/11 and the demolition of the Twin Towers. And that architect's name was Richard Gage, and he went on to found Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. All of our friends and 9/11 truthers, they volunteered with him in the very beginning. They grew Architects and Engineers for 9/11, I believe they have between 3,000, maybe 3,500 signatures now for a new investigation. And so that's just, you know, the show has reach. Sometimes you wonder when you're on radio, is anybody listening to this? Is this going to mean anything?
Mm-hmm.
And so things come of it. Yarrow, who helps me with the show, used to say, if the only thing that Guns N' Butter ever did was launch Richard Gage, it would have been worth it.
You know what I always found fascinating? Of course, we had the Twin Towers, but building number 7,
right.
You know, it just it collapsed. And of course, we heard that, you know, we have to pull that building, and which they did. They blew the damn thing up. But it was rather interesting to me that where was the evidence? We had a lot of activity. And as you said, the New York Times had sued to try to get those interviews of the firemen. Well, a lot of information up and disappeared that day. But the one thing that was always, and what illustrated it, was, of course, the plane hitting the Pentagon. And what did we get out of that? We got one snapshot of a ball of flame, and that was about it. And that got me to thinking, well, wait a minute. There were many cameras around the Twin Towers. You know, there's all this video surveillance stuff. Where did that all go?
Exactly.
It wasn't there.
Exactly. I'm like, oh.
And the only and what led a lot of people on the path about building number 7 is the reporters were talking about building 7 collapsing, and it was still standing in the background. And, of course, a few minutes later, it mysteriously crumbled to the ground. You know, and where was the video evidence? If you notice, anytime our government gets involved in anything, I don't care if it's the FBI in Las Vegas shooting, what's the first thing to up and disappear? The video evidence. It's not there. Could you imagine what we could see if we could see the weeks and the months before? Because I don't know what your thoughts on and what brought down the Twin Towers, but there would be a lot of activity and a lot of interesting things that you could observe, people's comings and goings over a period of days and weeks into the Twin Towers.
Oh, exactly. They had the whole elevator shafts were renovated. There were floors in the Twin Towers that you couldn't enter. You name it. There was all sorts of stuff going on. But just think about it, John. It's not just 9/11. Think of all the false flag shootings in this country. Where's the video? Where's the video?
But where's the mass shootings gone? Did all of a sudden the people want to perpetrate mass shootings? Did they just up and get sane one day, or did they get just Xanaxed into oblivion?
That's a very interesting point, because people have pointed out to me since this whole COVID lockdown has started, we haven't had any shootings, have we?
Well, we've had a few, but, you know, it's the left against the right. I'm right and you're wrong, and then guns started to appear. Now, the one thing, and I don't know if you knew this about me or not. Remember the militias that started back in the 90s?
Yes.
Well, I'm one of the guys that started them. And the reason being, it was only for defensive purposes. This wasn't... Of course, the FBI and the other governmental agencies, these extremists out here with these warlike weapons, the assault weapons. We weren't there. What started that was Billy Clinton and Janet Reno, and making more than just noise about, what are assault weapons and should people really have them? And of course, the story progressed, and, well, we're going to limit this and the magazine capacity, the same old stuff that you've been hearing over the number of years, but with a little different twist here. And we figured that, look, if they come for the guns, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do if your government turns on you, the stormtroopers hit the streets, people start getting arrested and or shot because of their political beliefs, or the belief of the government that these people are forming to take the government down? It's not us that took the government down. The government took the government down. We were just simply observers and witnessing to this act. But we finally figured out that, wait a minute, they're going to come for the guns. If they get the guns, where's your argument against tyranny? A string of epithets? You know, is it swearing? Is it holding up a piece of paper to them? I've never seen a bulletproof piece of paper. Therein lies the root of, are you going to have tyranny or are you going to have liberty? And that's exactly why the Founding Fathers did that Second Amendment thing, tied in the unorganized militia. You know, it's kind of fascinating. I've been contacted by the federal agencies from time to time. I don't know if you remember back... Oklahoma City bombing. CNN ran a story with a copy of a fax that was sent to Steve Stockman's office, congressman here in Texas. He was in his Washington, D.C. office at the time. This is intel that came from let me back up here and make sure that I get this right. The Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes, I've done a lot of programming on that, John. Glad you're bringing it up.
We had a sit rep that was sent to us, and it was reformatted and sent on to Steve Stockman's office. Well, one of the employees of Steve Stockman saw it laying on a desk, picked it up, and said, "Oh my God, look at the timestamp on this fax. It came in an hour before the bombing." Well, of course, all hell broke loose, and I was descended on by the FBI. The Homeland Security, everybody showed up in suits, including the county sheriff. And one guy that had a suit on that just didn't really fit in, it was a suit off the rack, two sizes too big for him, and he stood around with a ponytail with the, you know, this kind of, you know, the stance, the hands folded in front, ready for action at any moment. And I knew what this guy was. He was a mercenary. He was brought along for good measure. Now, the greatest insult that you ever can give to a merc to let him know that you ain't worried about him, turn your back on him. So I walked up to him, that far from his nose, looked at him, and he's just giving me that look. And I just turned my back on him. And I said, "Who is who here?" Guy raised his hand, "I'm the county sheriff." I said, "You can come in. The rest of you people can stay here in the driveway." And the FBI kept knocking on the door. "Well, we're just here to see." And I said, "Just give me a minute here." So I spent some time talking to the sheriff, and then I allowed these guys in. Well, make a long story short here, CNN ran with that fax that they claim came in an hour before the bombing. Well, the FBI was there, and they looked at my fax, and they discovered that, well, you never did your time change on your fax. So it wasn't an hour before the bombing. It was after the bombing. That's what they were there for.
Well, now, what is the significance of this fax, and why are they after you?
Well, because it came from my office over to Steve Stockman describing the events on the ground, the bombing of Oklahoma City.
It was actually a
situation, a sit rep of what was going on. And these guys were crawling all over me. Well, by the time they left, the one FBI guy that was left, I had no problem talking with him. He was interested. I could tell he was truly interested. Of course he's an FBI guy. Of course he's going to turn in a report. He came back the next day, and about four pots of coffee later, he's sitting there looking at the books, and he sees a Geneva Bible there, and he goes, "You know," he says, I've converted." He said, "I'm now a Christian." And I said, "Well, good for you." And he said, "There's a lot of things wrong." And he and I talked. And the last thing that guy said to me before he left my office, as he's closing the door, he says, "I don't want to see the militias smashed. We may need them in the future." Well, this guy, he got pulled from his detail. He was sent down here to Texas in some office that had a recorder, didn't even have a secretary. The FBI is very careful, and they keep a close eye on their agents. You know, they don't want them going astray, like going into truth mode or doing a correct job. No, they don't want that. So, you know, that was my experience with 9/11. And we looked at that, and it was like, really? Timothy McVeigh? And they tried to tie me with Timothy McVeigh in a hotel room in Michigan. Oh, yeah.
Well, now, you mentioned the militia. Now, wasn't Timothy McVeigh, didn't they have him go undercover into this Elohim group? Yes.
That the majority of the participants were federal agents, and and the operation for this was they send an agent in. They're not to tell anybody else or seek anybody else that might be a fed. And yeah, the Elohim Church, 75% of the attendees were feds.
I've often heard it said that most of the members of the Ku Klux Klan are FBI agents.
Well, and you know, a convenient fact here that they don't want to tell anybody that was started by Democrats. Those must have been the old school Democrats. Yeah. So, it you know, and here we are Bonnie, crisis after crisis after crisis, something has always been shoved in our face to make us afraid, to make us scared. And I'm looking at this COVID-19 thing and this operation. I'm looking at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and what they represent. You know, you mentioned, Agenda 2030 now. Donald Trump got us out of that Paris Accord, which would have been horrible for this country. Mm-hmm. The fossil fuels that we have, yeah, we've done a better job of cleaning up, and I think our air is a little bit better than it was before. But we're talking about something that you base an economy on, and you just don't play switch-o-change-o like, oh, Green New Deal, we can replace most of this stuff with, you know, whatever. No, you can't.
You know, it's very curious because, and we can talk about this later if you're interested, my show was banned from one of the radio stations, and one of the accusations was climate denial. Now, I did a show on the evolution of the global warming movement. Come to find out, it was founded by a billionaire Canadian oil man, Maurice Strong, who works with the Rockefellers. And then Lester Brown, who heads up one of the big global environmental organizations, he used to work for Rockefeller too. So here we have the oil industry itself promoting the global warming analysis.
So what's really going on here? It would seem like a conflict of interest, wouldn't it?
You would think.
Well, and I'm reading right now your management over at KPFA. When they canceled you, and they did it by email. They didn't even do this by a phone call or a personal visit. Hey, Bonnie, we really like you, but here's what they said. We've received an avalanche. Yeah.
As someone pointed out, an avalanche of two.
Of two. I don't know if you folks can hear that. That's the people in the other room laughing. We received an avalanche of negative calls and emails from listeners about your uncritically airing of views by Holocaust denier, climate denial, and casting the Parkland mass shooting survivors as crisis actors. As steward of our airways, we can't defend this content to our listeners. Sincerely, Quincy McCoy, General Manager, and Kevin Cartwright, Program Director.
Now, these are relatively new staff. This GM had only been there for a few years. He wasn't really long time KPFA. And I think a factotum, really. So who's pulling whose strings? And as I mentioned at the very beginning of our discussion, John, my programming always went against the grain there in any case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to talk about censorship, I'll tell you, even though my politics and programming were quite different and quite much more radical than the rest of the programming, I used to be able to do what I wanted to do. And because of the popularity of the show, the station actually used to care about the listeners and what they wanted to listen to. My show, listeners have donated over the years hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to that station mm-hmm. during fund drives. Because of Guns and Butter. But there's been a shift in everything, and it's not just Pacifica, but this one particular station in Berkeley, they don't care what the listeners want to hear or what's popular with them. They're going to have the listeners listen to what they want to. They're going to tell the listeners what to listen to. And you know, my view of the network, I hate to be negative, but I think that the politics generally at that network is Democratic Party politics.
Well, and doesn't that seem, Bonnie, doesn't that seem to be the problem here? Whether you're talking ABC, CBS, NBC, whether you're talking CNN, MSNBC,
yes.
And now, to our astonishment, we're watching Fox News flip, of which people are not happy about, and they're seeking other venues. Who they're going out there and listening to now is Newsmax. Newsmax has got cable and satellite TV. They're going out there watching One America News, which ironically, in these past several days, who wasn't talking up to and including Fox News about what was going on with the election, about the recount and everything else?
You make an excellent point, and that's, to me, there's no difference now between Pacifica listener-sponsored non-commercial radio and regular mainstream radio. It's the same, and it's very much Democratic Party politics.
Well, dude, I just skipped this last break in this hour, by the way. Yeah, that's what the... That means, you know, no break. The reason I got into radio, and this assassination of JFK, I'll leave it up to you because you're a lady, and you can divulge what you want to. I will ask you no direct questions about your age relative to the events that have happened in this country.
Well, I appreciate that,
Joe. But if you want to tell on yourself, that's fine. I remember I was in the fifth grade. Mr. Druckenmiller came on the PA system to announce that the President of the United States was shot and that he was releasing the students from the day. And for 3 days, we got coverage on the JFK assassination. And into about the third day, they finally start running a few commercials. But it was basically commercial-free. We don't want to sully this with commercialism. The president has been shot, for God's sake. So that kind of caught my interest in news. And at that tender age of, say, 11, maybe 12 years old, I started to watch the evening news. Now, what the hell does a kid at 12 years old care about what's going on in the world or in the country? You're too busy being a kid. But it kind of piqued my interest and kind of drew me to the boob tube. So I started watching. We only had three networks at the time. How easy is that to control when you only had three? And I noticed something. They were running almost the exact same story at the exact same time. On the evening news, you could literally flip the channel and they'd be either in the middle of the same story, starting it, or ending the same story that you just watched on the other network. And I filed that away for future reference. And I went out to be a kid, you know, young adult, and then growing up and becoming an upwardly mobile yuppie until about the age of, 30. You know, I got my partying and my ways of error out of the way and got serious and go, okay, kid, you're 30 years old. What are you going to do now? Well, just when I started to chart that course of what I wanted to do to go out there and make a good living for myself and build a nice retirement and, you know, enjoy it likely everybody else was, then came the day that I got involved in, gosh, the conspiracy. And the way it was done, people were haranguing me at the office and they'd hand me stuff and they'd look, you got to look at this, John. No, I don't. Get the hell away from me. And I would just chide them and smile and walk away and just throw the stuff right in the trash can in my office. So one day, I got pissed off. And I looked at these people and I said, you know what? I'm tired of this crap. Just leave me alone. I got angry and I said, I'm going to prove you guys wrong. The more I tried to prove them wrong, the only thing I was able to do is prove them correct. And that was the start of things. But by that time, the media was really controlled. I mean, really controlled. I mean, we've got media all over the place now. We got satellite, we got cable, we got tons of information out there. But look at the information. Mm. Who's controlling it? Mm. Everything that you see, you read, and you hear through the mainstream, that goes through their filter.
Mm-hmm.
Just what happened to you at Pacifica mm-hmm. with that radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell you, this has been the most rewarding and the most frustrating 3 decades I've ever spent.
Mm-hmm.
And to do this and try to wake people up, well, finally, geez, is this an exoneration here? Rush Limbaugh last week was talking about the New World Order on his program. Hello? How long has Rush been on the air? Here we are. He's got one foot on a banana peel and the other one in a grave. Sorry, Rush. I'm sorry you got cancer and you're going to check out here soon. But did you have to wait this damn long?
Mm.
And Rush Limbaugh...
Yeah, because he's got a big audience.
Oh, he's got a huge audience.
Yeah. And, you know, have you noticed with regard to conspiracies, when you're criticized for backing a so-called conspiracy theory... You're never attacked with evidence. It's only accusations, labels, ad hominems. There's never any evidence. But like you just got through saying, as soon as you tried to attack some of these conspiracies, you were faced with the real evidence,
yeah.
And you couldn't do it.
I'll tell you, it's been richly rewarding But it's also been monumentally frustrating because I watched network after network after network fold. And one of the major reasons was it was economics. 2008, prior to 2008, with this network, I would have a string of people that wanted to advertise on this network. I had sometimes 3-4 deep with the same type of product. So I had the ability to pick and choose what ads and at what price I was going to put on the network. Well, after 2008, you'd have to walk a country mile and look under every rock to try to find somebody to try to get some money out of them. And that's continued to this day. So a lot of these networks, I mean, we got big networks out there that are billions of dollars in the hole right now, and there's no way for them to get out of it.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And then we had the big networks, we had medium-sized networks, we had people doing their networks from grandma's basement, for God's sakes, that couldn't even afford to keep it on the air.
Right.
And if it were not for the listeners like you've experienced, they liked your Guns and Butter show, they liked the radio station, they stepped up to support that radio station because you were on it.
Right.
Well, we survived because of the listeners that are listening to this program right now, because they themselves realized that the realm of truth and your choice out there was rapidly diminishing. It was disappearing off the face of the map. So here we are in 2020. What do you think is going to happen since we saw Mr. Zuckerberg and we saw Twitter and we saw this social media and that social media all being controlled?
Can you believe they even they censor the president of the United States? I mean, you got to look at what the power is behind Silicon Valley and who's backing them up and who they're supporting. YouTube is taking people down right and left. Thousands. People's life work just thrown down the memory hole.
Well, during the top of the hour break, I have something to tell you. I want you to be a part of this moving into the future. This is going to be well worth your visit to this little enterprise here today. I can guarantee you that. The avenues of truth are being shut down, absolutely. But there are some people out there that had the foresight to see this coming, sit down and ask the serious question, okay, what do we do now? There's always options.
Yes.
Sometimes the options aren't real good. Sometimes the choices aren't your first choice. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Well, we're doing that. We're right in the middle of it right now. And the only Bonnie, I'm serious about this. I will be in the chair until I either fall dead, we get our republic back on track, and I can safely retire, or they're going to have to come in and put me in chains or just shoot me. Because I look at this life that we are living here. I mean, I believe this in my heart. I've been blessed being born in this country. There's over 7 billion people on the face of this planet that didn't have a choice of what country they were born in.
That's right.
I was lucky enough to be born here.
That's right. And we were brought up to expect certain liberties.
Well,
and people aren't so ready to just roll over. I mean, we think of what you were taught in school.
Look what you're not being taught in school now, and look what they are teaching in school.
Yes, I know.
What's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto? Government control of public education to be used as a transmission belt for state propaganda. Hour two coming up, and I'm very pleased to have this woman in here. I'm telling you, our backgrounds are somewhat similar. The subject matter we cover is, how should I say, it's kind of gunsy and buttery. Let's take the top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.